Welcome to Comically Exposed. This is the podcast where we talk about OCD and comedy stuff. And my name is Gabby Blackman, and the fabulous co-host of this podcast is
Heather Nye.
And you are all better for knowing it. This is episode 13. Hopefully you heard our last episode, which was an amazing interview with Ege, our friend from Turkey, who's too goddamn funny for her own good, I think, was the takeaway.
She is. And yeah, she was amazing on our first interview that we ever done on our podcast. So,
yeah. And shout out to you for fixing the international technical difficulties of sound recording and piecing back together. I don't know why, but it makes me think of like some kind of architectural dig where you found a 70,000 puzzle piece from 20 million years ago, and now you're putting it back together piece by piece. Was that accurate?
I do like puzzles.
I like puzzles too. Have we talked about this? Are you at all compulsive about puzzles?
I don't know if it's compulsive or controlling. I'm not sure. Yeah. So I kind of like figuring out the order of it. which makes me probably really fun to do puzzles with.
That's what people love. They love somebody to come through and be like, hey, let's make this very ordered and organized and turn it into some kind of project. You're a project manager.
Not by job, but I guess by life choices.
Yeah, I feel like that could be a little compulsive, coming in and being like, I will make order out of this chaos.
Yeah, I do like to sort. That's one of my fun things that I like to do. But
I am definitely compulsive when it comes to puzzles. If there is one out and I am near it, I have to be working on it.
I am drawn to them, if that's what you mean by compulsive.
I mean, like, do you find yourself up at 4 a.m. and everybody else has been in bed for some time and you are still working on said puzzle?
Probably. I mean, I haven't done that in a while. but I know that when I was over at my sister's house and they had a puzzle out, all I could do was work on the puzzle. So
yes, exactly. Yeah. I can't really, like, if the people are not around the puzzle and working on it, I can't have a conversation with them. Like, whatever else is happening, there's a fire in the kitchen, or I don't know, some small child is drowning. It doesn't exist for me because the edges of the puzzle are the edges of my concentration.
Similarly to a puzzle, I got my sister and her boyfriend a Lego set of this like house.
Oh yes.
And it was like a Christmas scene, and we proceeded to open it and then just build.
How long until you guys finished it?
Well, we didn't finish it because it was an enormous amount of Legos, which I didn't realize it was when we got it for him. But it was a couple hours and people were like, so I'm going to go home. Before we realized we were at it for a very long time.
1,000%. People are like, I'm hungry. And you're like, why? We ate 12 hours ago. The puzzle is here. The puzzle will sustain us. Legos for me, I think – this may have to do with my ADHD, but anytime I got a Lego set, and also because maybe the first couple of Lego sets I got were hand-me-downs, so not all the pieces were there. So I never built the thing that you were supposed to build. I was always just freestyling. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like a regular sauce puzzle, it is, oh my God, the beginning of the quarantine lockdown of the pandemic, and I ordered a whole bunch of puzzles and really, really did damage to my eyes because there's no There are no good lights in this house. Everything, for some reason, is like half as bright as you would want it to be. It's very atmospheric. And yeah, that's a real, it's a real bummer.
Did you end up getting a headlamp?
Yes, but there was a problem because the reflection from the headlamp was too strong, so I'd have to look at the puzzles from like an angle, and I had to like angle the headlamp. It was like a whole thing. I don't know, maybe it was good that I was so hyper focused on something besides being stuck indoors for, you know, the months, and then not being around another human being for 6 months. Yeah,
those were dark days.
Yeah, it was. Although at first my little introverted self was like,
I don't have to go outside. It's amazing. Like,
this is the best. But then I didn't realize how much incidental touch was important to me. I think I just, I don't know if I actually took a quiz or whatever, but you know, the love language quiz or situation that's been going around, and not only is it quality time, but it was absolutely physical touch. And so to go, I think it was a full 6 months without touching another human being. Like, I think my mom and my sister, we were all up at the farm, and I needed to have a human hug. So I brought sheets, because we still didn't super know how this thing was, you know, being transmitted. I think we were still wiping off groceries. And so we put full sheets over our faces and bodies and then hugged through the sheets. I can't even tell you. It was the best. But I felt immediately guilty because I was like, great, now I've killed my mom and my sister. Even though, again, I was so isolated that there was no incidental contact with other human beings. So where did I get COVID from? It would have had to have come through the internet.
Oh, yeah. I thought the same thing, too, when when visiting my dad. Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, give him a hug, and then, oh, if he gets COVID, I just killed him.
Yeah. A little fixation, a little rumination.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, we were talking about stuff previous to the podcast because we're friends outside of the podcast. Jealous. One of the ways that you can tell if something is OCD is if you're ashamed to tell other people about it.
Yes. Right? Yes, very much so. Yeah.
One of the best things about being in an OCD group was finding out that all of us had OCD since we were children and kept it to ourselves and did our little rituals and our compulsions and really tried to make it so that nobody else noticed. And we would never tell anybody because I think the worst fear is being rejected. Yes. But also the first fear was being called weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You too?
I feel that too. Yeah. Cause that was, that's the whole like learning to mask. I recently saw something, and I don't know if this is true or not. Cause I'm not a medical professional, but for example, I was called high functioning OCD, even though I was also told that that is not, a medical term. And it was because, high functioning means, good at masking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know that until like recently, that you have OCD or that you have a problem. And yes, like as a child being told like by a parent, you know, don't do that because that's weird, or nobody does that. Or when you're asking a question about something that you're just trying to get clarification on, they're like, nobody thinks that way, you know? And so I kept a lot of my symptoms to myself, and that I think that's why there is a designation of pure O, right? Because it's not truly pure O, right? Because that's just a term, because you can't see it, but that, you know, most my compulsions are in my head.
Yes, so pure O stands for pure obsession, I believe. And it's, for our listeners, it's It's where most of your mental compulsions and obsessions and intrusive thoughts, shockingly, all happen in your head, and there's very little outward representation of the chaos and suffering that is happening on the inside.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I also think, I mean, Puro is kind of a misunderstanding, too, in thinking that you only have obsessions, but in truth, you have compulsions as well. And that I didn't realize I had so many, or I had a few, like, physical compulsions that I didn't realize that I was doing, like, and I'm starting to kind of learn a little bit, like, not to be designated, because I don't like putting things into buckets so much as thinking that all of it is related and the same thing, I guess, if that makes sense. But like, for example, like somatic OCD is like when you try to control things like that are automatic in your body, like breathing or blinking and other things like that. Or when you're checking like within like the automatic functions of your body to see if it's if anything's wrong. Because I do that, and I didn't realize. I mean, I do realize it, but then I don't, you know, like I'm starting to become a little bit more self-aware about it. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you think part of that is because you've been doing it so long?
Yeah.
That it's like, if for me, it's like, if it was something that I started like in childhood, I accepted a lot of shit in childhood, not to say like traumatic shit. I just mean like I, you know, some adult would tell me like, you know, books should always be put back, read it so that the title can be read to the left or whatever it is. And I would be like, oh, that is a law of the world. So when I was younger and if I started doing some kind of compulsion, then I would be like, well, this is just, this is just me. This is just a way of the world, you know?
Yeah. And then people call it quirky.
Yes, exactly. You get called weird. And you raise your fist and you shake it.
You're like, if you knew the rules, you would understand that this is the thing you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. What are you idiots doing? Exactly. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast yet, but... when I was in elementary school, when I would raise my hand to answer a question from the teacher, I made sure that every fourth time I raised my hand, I purposefully gave a wrong answer because I thought that was the rule that all the other elementary school kids were doing.
That's awesome.
So, definitely not overthinking at all.
Not at all. I honestly thought everybody knew the answer, and so I wouldn't raise my hand.
Yeah. Oh, there. That's a good one too.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah. No, and then because I didn't know the answer, and I didn't know how other people knew the answer, so I never raised my hand.
Whoa.
I know.
I wouldn't turn in homework because, as I explained once to my mom, the teacher already knows how to do this assignment, so why would she need it from like a fourth grader's attempt to do it? As if the teacher was just farming out like these problems that she had to solve in her life. Like, oh gosh, boy howdy, I wish I knew what 3 times 4 was, but I sure don't. So maybe I'll like put it out to a bunch of fourth graders and see what they come up with.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So I had like piles of homework that just didn't get turned in. I mean, a lot of this is also ADHD stuff, which is like, I don't know, it got shoved to the bottom of my backpack and it ceased to exist. So
it doesn't exist anymore. It fell into the hole in the black hole.
Yeah. So the teacher's like, where's this assignment? And I'm like, we shouldn't talk about that assignment because it doesn't exist anymore. And if we talk about it, bad things will happen. Anyway, all of this
childhood. Like,
so fun. Trying to figure out what the rules are, making up rules that are maladaptive to the situation, but holding on to them because we came up with them when we were small and we couldn't think about things because our prefrontal cortex hadn't fully formed. Woo!
That was amazing.
Thank you. It's a classic childhood rhyme. Mm-hmm. The number thing made me think of some other, now I'm like remembering being a teenager and having certain compulsions. Like mm-hmm. I got really into photography in high school and started seeing the entire world as if through a lens. Like, how would I frame this to be a really cool picture? Mm-hmm. And for you young listeners, we did black and white film. So... And so you couldn't see immediately, you know, what the image looked like. I had to like take the picture, develop the negatives, mm-hmm. put it in the enlarger and develop the photograph, stick my hands in chemicals, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then be like, oh, I really, you know, fucked up that photograph. Or more than likely... God, what a genius. Look at that photograph. But the thing is, I wear glasses, as do you, my friend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I started using the inside curvature of the glass frame that goes against the nose as if it was the outer edges of a camera lens so that yeah. I would look at things and then I would check to see the edge on the right side and then check to see the edge on the left side of my glasses. No camera in sight. So I would just do this all the time. And eventually I like could not go anywhere, look at anything without doing this over and over and over again. So then I had to stop doing photography for a while because I was like, doesn't feel good to have this constant urge, compulsion. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
Yeah, that's not great at all.
Yeah, it's okay. The thing is it's like not having the language of OCD, not having that lens, no mm-hmm. pun intended, to look at things is like, oh, well, I just have to take care of this on my own, right? Mm-hmm. This is just something I got myself into, I got to get myself out of, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My art club in high school went on a trip to Europe, which was very cool. We went to Paris and we went to Florence and we looked at a bunch of art. And my mom was the chaperone and my younger sister got to come along, even though she wasn't in high school yet. And it was very cool. But then my mom, the trip ended and my best friend and I were going to stay and go to like Switzerland and like find her ancestors or I don't know what we were going to do. We were like 16 and probably making smart choices. but I remember like the instant the metro doors closed in Paris after my mom and my sister and the rest of the art club got off the subway. And mm-hmm. then my friend and I were alone in a totally foreign country and on our way to Switzerland. And I just kind of lost my mind. And when we got to Switzerland, they have cobbled streets. I couldn't go down a cobbled street without touching every single cobble.
Oh. Wow. And your friend is no longer friends with you.
Exactly. No, she was amazing, actually. She really took care of me. I stopped being able to, like, eat a lot of food, and so somehow she would procure like plain noodles with butter
Aww.
From restaurants and stuff. Oh no, she's amazing. We definitely like supported each other throughout our teenage years, and mm-hmm. and that was really great. But it is amazing to me that I did not get the diagnosis of OCD until I was almost 40 years old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like that shit? Are you kidding me? But a lot of it, like you said, I kept it in my head. I would count my steps all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess coming back to it, like masking, you know, and knowing what is like, I guess, quote unquote, normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, normal doesn't really exist.
Yeah, that's a bucket that has a hole in the bottom.
It does. That has a bunch of rules going through it.
Yeah, exactly. And it turns out everybody's bucket of normal is nonsense, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. well, yeah. Okay. You know, some of the structure of this podcast is what have you worked on in the last couple of weeks? With comedy or,
I know. You know, do we do comedy? Yeah, I think we do comedy sometimes. I do comedy sometimes. I did that one comedy thing that one time. Mm-hmm. Are you asking me or am I asking you?
Honestly, it could go either way.
Okay, yeah. You go.
Damn it. Okay. I lost that invisible Rochambeau that we played inside our heads. I have not done really anything with comedy, but I do aqua aerobics with a lot of senior citizens, I think I've already said on the podcast. I do not teach this class. I am in with the senior citizens. So don't make it seem like I'm some good person. Uh-uh. I love it because I get to compare myself to 90-year-old people. And I'm like, I can do 12 more reps than you, motherfucker. So who's fit now? But anyway, I made the kind of mistake of telling some of the other participants that I want to do comedy or that I do comedy. And so they'll have suggestions. And recently one of them emailed me and it was like a link to a Facebook thing, which am not really on Facebook, right? But I was like, okay, what is this? And it's just, it's like an announcement that says that there's going to be stand up at the local theater, which is a very large theater.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say who's doing the stand-up. It doesn't really show you where you can buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is not like an open mic or something that like I could do as a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, okay, right, got it. Got this link from this email. Okay. And then I go back to Aqua Aerobics like the next day or whatever. And she's like, did you get my email? And I'm like, yeah, I got it. And she's like, so? And I'm like, great. So great. Thank you so much. And she's like, yeah, I thought of you. And I'm like, uh-huh.
She solved it.
Exactly. And I was like, high fives all around. Look out, Jerry Seinfeld. Like, my career is... I was just like, okay, like, cool. To me, it's like the equivalent of an elderly relative sending you a newspaper clipping. It's like, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to read it and talk to you about it the next time I see you? Because I can almost guarantee you have forgotten about this, like, you know, piece on Nevada's voting history or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to read it. Anyway, so that was comedy. But the big thing that I am thinking about is the job, getting the day job, still plugging mm-hmm. away at that, still hating it. Tutoring has picked up a lot. So I'm trying to balance this being the season to actually make money
mm-hmm.
and putting aside time to do the application. And then on the weekends, I keep going up to the farm and working on the bunkhouse to get into place. So I don't know where I'm thinking the time to, doesn't matter. But I am getting more and more excited about putting on a night of comedy where we talk about our experiences in the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried that it's just going to be sad and traumatic, but I'm hoping that if we started off with, you know, I select the people that it'll, you know, kind of vacillate. We'll have some funny highs, some very sad lows, a lot of Sharon.
So, yeah. That sounds great.
Thank you. So Heather, what's been going on with you?
Well, not as much comedy writing. I think I said this last time before the Egge interview that I was going to work on my short humor piece and then get that out the door. I actually focused mostly on podcast stuff. Only because we're using a different podcasting host, and I've been testing out some stuff. And so I've been doing a little bit of research on trying to figure out if I want to stick to it, because we transferred from not paying for podcast hosting to paying for podcasting hosting. And I mean, right now we're not paying, we're on a free trial right now, but I'm just trying to do a little bit of due diligence and seeing if this is our home for now or if we just go somewhere else. And so I know that is super boring to talk about. And then also editing and figuring out some of our processes to kind of workflow processes of getting stuff out the door faster and other things. So that is, and all, and accessibility of the podcast for having transcriptions and potentially getting on to YouTube soon.
Dang.
Yeah. So been working on
that. Wait a minute. That sounds cool. Do you want us to have like a video component to this?
We don't have to. Not that, I don't know if I'll cut this part out, but YouTube, people listen to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They allow for RSS feed. And so they can pick up our podcast and then we can just have it sitting there on YouTube. And YouTube is like the second largest search engine. So if we have our SEOs correct, we could be found. So,
dude, Heather, you are such a rock star.
And I think I might cut this part out because it's so boring.
All right. But I think it's so fucking cool.
Well, thank you. But I would like to work. I do have a time frame of the time limit, I should say, of how much research I'm going to do on this. Because I could do this forever. Know that, you know, I can always change later. So that's just how it goes. So my plan is to do the short humor piece that I was planning on doing and then submitting it to a second place. That's
so cool.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
My goal, I think, because I don't know about the comedy night anyway, but what I want to do and what you have already very generously offered to me multiple times is I would love to send you the Batshit Roommate recording I made with my sister, and maybe you can work your magic so that the voices sync up so that at the end it's not echoes on echoes of delay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. With the caveat that this is to be like a very low priority for you. I would much rather that you work on your stuff first.
Yeah, I mean, I could just drop it into Audition, see what it looks like, and then see if it just does it automatically. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Make a AI work for you. I don't know if it's AI. It's probably just the software.
Cool. Yeah, it's just the software that notices that they're not synced. That's all. But if there's an actual problem with the file, then that's a whole other thing. But
I don't think there is, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. That's awesome.
So then that means that Gabby will have one episode done of Batshit Roommate.
Which has only been something I've been thinking about for 15 years at this point.
It's been like 99 years since we first discussed it. It was back in when we first started our other podcast, Ancient Times.
Ancient Times. It was called Ham Radio.
Yeah.
And it was a thorough discussion about President Eisenhower.
Yeah.
I don't know who was president 100 years ago. Because it would be very cool to get that going. And then I have other questions that I wanted. So you can cut this out too.
Yeah.
Because I have other questions because I'm thinking about purchasing different mics, not for this. This is fine to have the USB mic, but the other plug kind of mic, that like audio one.
Yeah.
So that I can take it with me and interview somebody in person, as opposed to like this situation that happened when I interviewed Miriam for the batshit and we ended up being in two different computers.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure there's lots of different ways to solve it.
Yeah, there are. People have been interviewed before in the same room.
No, I'm going to be the first person to do it. It's going to blow everybody's minds.
So should this be the end of the pod?
I think so. It's kind of a low-key pod, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the last one was so amazing and hyped up and whatever. I would like us to do maybe some more interviews in the future.
I agree.
I'm sure we know some other OCD types with funniness.
Or ADHD. I mean, because you have ADHD, so we can do that. And I could just...
Thank
you, know,
you for noticing.
Yeah. And then, or anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
Anxiety
or MDD,
is all our friends.
Major depressive disorder. Listen, listeners, if you have any of those and you want to be interviewed, call in.
Yeah.
I don't know what our number is, but good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Just call a number and see if it's us.
Just take your phone out, start screaming at it.
Yeah,
you can turn it on or not. You're going to have the same result. So.
Yeah, that's how my mom calls me. So,
oh, beautiful. Yeah, well, maybe people can contact us on the Instagram.
Yeah, DM us on DM us on Instagram if you're a comedy person that has ADHD, OCD, anxiety, something that we're not mentioning, and want to be on the pod, just let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That would be very cool. I think we're done.
Yay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Welcome to the end of the show. This is Gabby Blackman.
And this is Heather Nye.
Thank you for listening to Comically Exposed. We are just a little show with two creators who edit and produce each episode. We appreciate all your support.
If you like what you heard, please follow us on Instagram at comicallyexp.podcast. That's comicallyexp.podcast.
Or subscribe to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes drop every other Wednesday.
Also, special thanks to Track Club and Goldenfinch for providing the music.
Thanks for listening. And hey, everybody, today is a great day to expose yourself. Okay, until next time, ta-da for ta-da.
Bye.
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 Bye.